Pastor. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please, we'll get right into the good stuff. We want to look at the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and we're going to flip to a number of passages while you're turning there, because there's a cry of the heart today, and what I'm seeing across the land, which I'm not noticing very much here this morning, which is great, there is a desire for God in this fellowship. I see young families, every mixture of age. I'm in a lot of churches where, please don't take this the wrong way, I see a lot of gray-headed people that are holding down the fort, and I'm thinking, where are the young people today? And where I'm at in a church where I'm finishing up, if we do not get young blood in there, folks, sad to say, we're going to see the doors close in Topsfield. There's a pastor in the area, he's 72 years young, he's labored there for 35 years, he's lost his bride, she's gone home to be with the Lord, and he's stepping down from the pastorate. There's another gospel witness within our area. So the cry of my heart is that God would bring in a young couple or whoever to step in where we're leaving and have a burden for the area and continue the work until Jesus comes. Because Topsfield desperately needs a gospel witness, as I know we do here. And so my hat goes off to the faithfulness of God's people here. I am blessed and encouraged to see folks here today, young and old alike, serving the Lord. And it's so good to serve the Lord. Amen? So just a few things while you're turning to Matthew 24. I want to look at some conditions of the heart this morning. There's the cold heart. You ever met people that have a cold heart? They're like a porcupine. They have a lot of good points, but you can't get near them. They're cold. They're dissident. They're aloof. There's something amiss, right? I've met Christians that they say they have the joy of the Lord, but they are bitter like Mara. Right? And if the bitterness is there in the life of a believer, if we do not see the holiness of the Lord in our lives and allow the holiness of God to work in and through us, no man will see the Lord. So sometimes you hear people say, I want to introduce you to my bitter half. Huh? I couldn't do the things that I do without my wife. And she would say right now, preach it, Dave, preach it. But that is true. She has made me a better man. She keeps me balanced because you know what? I can jump in with both feet before I consult. And I got to be very careful to do that. My wife says, have you thought about that? Have you prayed about that? Not that she's holding me back, but she helps put things in perspective. And I love her more today than I did on the day of our wedding day. And she reminds me every so often. And I said to her a couple weeks ago, honey, if you ever plan on leaving me, I'm going with you. We are a package deal. So really she has 7 kids. And she constantly prays for her hubby. So I want to read this quote to you before we look into scripture. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said this over 150 years ago. Listen to me very carefully. The present age is so flippant that if a man or a woman loves the Savior, he or she is a fanatic if he or she hates the power of sin or evil. We are celebrating sin today, folks. We beam it into our home through the one-eyed monster. We become so desensitized today in sin. And may I say this, God's biblical worldview has not changed. He hates sin. He is judging sin. He hung on the cross because of sin, not the moral goodness of man, because nothing in man merits salvation. He didn't come because of the goodness of man. He came out of his agape love for humanity. I can't grasp that because I'm a sinner that still practices sin because David likes to get in the way instead of yielding myself to the Spirit of God. So that battle, my greatest enemy here today, listen to me, friend, is not you, is not the unsaved. My biggest enemy here today is the man in the mirror, and he has to die daily to self. My dreams, my ambitions, right? I have to yield them at the foot of Christ. Oh, I have lofty dreams. I have wonderful ideas, but I want them to be God-centered and God-led. Spurgeon had it right. One more time. Over 150 years ago, the present age is so flippant that if a man or woman loves the Savior, he or she is a fanatic. And if he or she hates the power of evil, he or she is considered a bigot. Oh, you Christian, you're just so narrow-minded. You know, revival is not going to come, folks, through the fire department, through the halls of government, through schools. Revival comes through God's people yielded to God. And the darker the day, folks, is the brighter the light. We are living in risky, jeopardizing, perilous times, but also we are living in a land of plenty to be that gospel witness in which Christ has called us. We are in exciting times, a God appointed time for you and for me. He is coming, and he is coming soon. Amen? But there are things which alarm me terribly. Oh, you remember when you first got saved, if you're saved here this morning? Remember the excitement and the joy that you had? Remember that? I felt like I was 6 feet tall for the first time in my life. Haven't grown since grade six. Man, I couldn't put down gospel tracts. I'd sell them wherever I go. I still do. Into Tim Hortons or wherever I go or pay my bills. I put a gospel tract in because you never know who's on the other side of that needs the Lord. And I had people come along at my second home, which is Tim Hortons. And so I would be handing tracts out. And people from the church would come and say, shh, you need to quiet down some. That's meant for being in the church. I never read that in my Bible, that witnessing is supposed to be in the church. We're supposed to be built up in our faith, and we're supposed to launch out into the marketplace and be that witness for God. That's scriptural-based witnessing. And so sometimes over a process, we wane in our walk with the Lord. You ever experience that? Hardships and difficulties come, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a child. We doubt God. We get angry. We got to watch bitterness. God knows us better than we know ourselves. But God says, what I have started, I will finish and complete in you. He's more committed to us than we are to him sometimes. Isn't that true? And you say, wow, you get to travel all over the place and you've pastored. You have no heartaches or hardships. I bleed like the rest of you. I doubt sometimes. I have fear, which means what? False evidence appearing real. The fiery darts are launched. And sometimes I cower back. And God is saying to us this morning, hold your ground. Press on. Others are falling to the wayside. And you know what he's trying to do, as we're going to look here this morning in Matthew? He's trying to take my cold heart, because I get cold in areas of my walk with the Lord. And he's trying to get it not to a lukewarm place, but hot. Hot for him. Hot for Jesus. Are you radically in love with the Savior this morning? Or are you like the man that had two dogs? And people come up and said, oh, look at that. That one's bigger and stronger. And I think it could beat that one anytime. So all of a sudden, he turned the two dogs loose, and the smaller dog took off, and he demolished the bigger dog. And they said, how did that happen? He said, depends on which dog you feed the most. So am I feeding the lust of my flesh, the lust of my eyes, and the pride of life? Or am I feeding the spiritual man? And in the light of God's glory and grace, the things of earth will grow strangely dim and will be more effective salt and witness for him. Oh, my heart can grow cold in ministering in songs, preaching of God's word. We must not fool ourselves here today. God allows things into our lives because we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the one in whom we love. He says that in the Laodicean church, which we'll look at here. So just for a moment, look at Matthew 24, verse 12. And may I mind you, this is not for us today. This is snapshots of what's coming, right? And so look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax. What? Cold. We turn the one-eyed monster on today, folks, and it can make us very dissident and very cold. Someone just plowed through a crowd and killed three people. And we flip to the next channel and watch a John Wayne movie. It has no profound effect on us. That's a loss of life. We've aborted over 50 million babies and counting in this country. And men and women are getting rich on the blood and bones of babies. God's going to say, thou shalt not kill. And he's going to bring them into judgment. There's a serious day coming for the unsaved. There's going to be a day of looking at our lives before the Bema seat. And God so wonderfully wants to bless us with crowns and rewards. And that'll determine how much we serve him in that eternal kingdom, for how much I yielded myself down here and said, Lord, not my will be done, but thine be done. Oh, I'm prone to wander. You've met people that have done Sunday school all their lives in the church, and they say, you know what? I've put my time in. I'm done. That's so unbiblical. Older people should be pouring into the lives of younger people. Out of this church should bring forth missionaries, pastors, evangelists. That's the structure and the autonomy of the local church and how God has set it up. He loves the local church. And that's God's gateway into the marketplace. So the first one is cold. I've witnessed to people over the years, and you'd say the light's on, but they're not home. Cold. No response. Someone can sit in a courtroom and they've just taken lives. And there's a blank expression on their face. They're not there. We've checked out of reality. And all these isms that are taking place today is for the purpose of pulling us away from the deity of Christ and who Christ is. And he is the authority. And he has absolute authority over everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't own it. You don't own it. All the mansions, all the toys, all the trinkets. Listen, you stop paying your bills on it, and you stop paying your taxes, they'll come and take it. We own nothing, but we think we do. We're one nation under greed instead of one nation under God. Time is short. Jesus is coming, and the birth pangs are intensifying, folks. And God does not want us to be apathetic or pathetic. We have a marketplace going. There is a parade today. There's a lot of activity happening. We have an opportunity. You do. Minister and reach out to people. They're just watching the worldly stuff, and yet they're unsaved and on their way to hell. Oh, may God open our eyes up and see how he does on the value of an eternal soul. You know how precious your soul is to God? He gave his son. What a measuring stick. He said, God, to his son, you've pleased me. You are the propitiation. What you did pleased the righteous requirements of a holy God. And he said, not my will be done, Father, but thine be done. So the first one is a cold heart. Are you where you're supposed to be? I found this to be true. Where I am, that's where I'll be. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out. What floats your boat? What floats our boat? Is it Jesus or is it self? We can talk about the weather, and that's good, and it's breaking forth the sun. Maybe I will have it outside. Be great. But what floats our boat? Do we see people as God sees people? We need a fresh view of how God sees people. And only God can help you. I can't do that. Your pastor can't do that for you. The message is laid out. God says, just don't be hearers of the word, but be doers. And follow wholeheartedly after him. Look at some of the prerequisites here, and we find. Look back up into verse 4. Because the disciples are asking questions, and he's asked three questions. We don't have time to go through that. But he says in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. Oh, we're in a day and age today, folks, where there's a lot of deception. Some people don't come to church, and they listen to 8 different preachers on TV. And you know what? They come away more confused than they did entering into watching the idiot box. I pull a little from here, a little from here, a little from here, a little from here, and it just sends people into a tailspin. You see, God has given us sound doctrine. This does not contain the Word of God, folks. It is the Word of God. And God primarily today speaks through his word to you and me, the church, because when he went, he said, I'll send another. And when I got saved in 1991, you know who he sent? Another just like him. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. Wherever I go, that's where he'll be. We teach our kids this little chorus. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. This is a warning that goes out to men. I just read a statistic the other day. 70% of men in the ministry are hooked on pornography. And it's escalating. So you don't have to go any longer to strip clubs and things, men. You can view it right in the comfort of your own home. You can pay for it right there in the comfort of your own home. And I'll tell you, it bores a trench right in the center of your brain. You know what? It is worse than cocaine and heroin. Man can't reason out. And you know what happens after that when he's been dabbling that too long? Can't satisfy the lustful cravings. You know what he does? He goes after children. They never started out that way. It's a serious plague and a giant elephant in the churches today that no one wants to touch. See, I blow in and blow out and blow out. And I can hit on these things because I see it all over the place. And it's tragic. Men, be careful what you see. Be careful, men. Because once it gets its hooks into you, it'll lead you like a wild beast to and fro. And it'll destroy you at the very core. And we celebrate it today. And the government promotes it today because they make an awful lot of money off of filth and perversion. We're in a wicked generation, folks. The Bible says, husband, love your wives. Love her. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband. The two become one. A three cord is not easily broken. You know, in Quebec, you can't even take your husband's last name. Am I true on that? Why? Because the divorce rate is so high. Oh, there's forgiveness with God. Don't we know that? But boy, the devastation of a family flows out of a cold heart. Deception. If I'm not happy in my marriage, you know what? I can get someone else. Marriage isn't to make me happy, though I am. Marriage is to make me holy. Because I recognize how selfish I am in regards to her needs. God, forgive me. Because he paints that picture of the union between Christ and the bride. So we're in a day and age of deception. Look at the next one. For nation, verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. So we have what? Wars and rumors of war? Are we seeing that now when you turn the box on, folks? We're not promised stability here in the world. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We could very soon go to war against North Korea. We'll be the only country that'll probably step up. Right? May happen. We need to be prepared for that. There's no stability. The birth pangs are intensifying. It's upon us. Look at the next one. Verse 8. Or actually in the end of verse 7, you see deaths, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Into verse 8, all these things are the beginnings of sorrow. What are we seeing a lot today? A lot of depression, a lot of oppression. Even amongst God's people. Now, it is a real issue. When my wife went through 6 births, probably 3 of them, the first 3, she hit major postpartum depression. And I had pastors call me and said, are you still coming to the meetings down in Massachusetts? I said, no, I got to stay home. What's the problem? I said, my wife is going through serious postpartum depression. They would say to me, you just need to get your wife to repent of that sin. And I say, I hope it never visits your home. And by the way, I'm not coming. And I can say, Lord, I never signed up for this. But it's a real issue. And what did my wife need? She needed me to be home and help her as best I could and know that I'm there to support her. Many of you women know it was the elephant in the room many years ago. And it's a real issue today. But there are a lot of depressed people. And I think God is pressing some of his people because they're not doing what they ought to be doing. David was laid face first in the dirt because he committed adultery and he was unrepentant for almost a year. And God smacked him face first in the dirt to break him. Psalm 51 is a wonderful psalm against thee and thee only. Have I what? Made a mistake, blown it. Sin! We got to call it for what it is. I sin! I am a sinner! And what I do very well is sin. What I don't do very well is live righteously. And what is righteousness? Living right according to God's word. I am a professional sinner. I do it and you do it very well. We don't want to hear that language today. In Canada, in the United Church of Canada, you know what they do? In Amazing Grace, they take out the word and saved a wretch like me. They put in there a person. See, man's always trying to elevate himself to a higher plateau to make man feel good. And God says, man is a sinner. And you know who he is? He's the sinner savior, folks. And when I grab a hold of that and realize that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, and I see people walking, doesn't matter if they're 5 years old that can understand or they're 100 years old, and whether they're without Christ, they're under the condemnation of God. And they need to be born again from above. It's the second birth which people need. Nicodemus, you must be born again. The only way to get to God. Not of works, not of putting into the plate, not of dressing ourselves up. It is simply coming and say, Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And he'll take that cold, dead heart, comes and takes up residence within. He changes the life so he can send it back out and be the salt and light in which he so desires for us to be. So there's a cold heart. There's depression. There's deception. We're seeing these birth pangs come to part. Look at the time. 500 words a minute and gusts up to 1,000. Let's keep going, okay? So we have the lukewarm heart. Let's turn over just to Revelation 3. Sam's not waving at me yet, so we're doing okay, Sam, right? Doing okay, brother? May this message hit us this morning, folks. And may I say this, what I prepare speaks to me. I'm not just sounding it out for your sake or make us feel guilty, but it has to filter through me first. God, teach me, instruct me. What do I need, Lord? Well, Dave, your heart's getting a little cold here. Tune me up, God. Show me my sin. Show me where I need you more, Lord. Show me where I need to yield myself to you, Lord. Look at this wonderful chapter. And it is the Laodicean church. And look at verses 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So God says, you're either cold or you're hot. You know what he doesn't like? Lukewarm. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll vomit you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but I have had lukewarm coffee, and I can't stand it. Especially a nice medium black Tim Hortons coffee. And I put it in my thermos as I travel, and I forget sometimes to go from open to close. And 2 hours later, I jump back in. This is going to taste so good. I can just, the senses are going. I tip it up, and it's lukewarm. Ah! So if I get turned off by that, how much more does God do for those who name the name of Christ and yet they're cold? And you know what God does, folks? How many of us like to be blessed here? Well, let's be honest. No one likes to be blessed. How many are here today by a show of left hands? Thank you, Helen, in the back. I've got one here. Leadership, you need to put your hands up. Thank you very much. Another one here, late Dave, you're good, but you're coming. Wonderful, getting on board. And so I lost my train of thought there because all these hands are starting to go up. But we get lukewarm, and God's trying to get our attention that he wants us hot for him. So let's keep going just for a moment. Verses 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He's talking to the Laodicean church. And he says, I know your works. You look good. You smell good. You're doing everything right. But he's saying, you lack one thing. Where's your love and your devotion to me? If I spent probably within 10 minutes or 15 minutes with you, and I have trigger questions that I ask people, it won't take long to know where your heart's at. It won't take long. And people come to me afterwards or to my wife and say, is he always like that in public? And we always say, ask his kids. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I hit some dark days, discouraging days. But in God's plan, he's trying to get out of me the cold and be dependent upon him. That's what he's doing. So why does God allow these things? Because he sees your cold heart. And you know what? Don't find it strange when you fall into a fiery trial here this morning, believer. Because God's trying to shake you and wake you. Because you're not where you should be. And I know there are avenues of growth, right? But we are vacating the house of God like never before. And that is tragic beyond measure. Churches are closing. There's over 1,500 pastors a month that are leaving churches throughout the United States. That's an epidemic. Why? Sometimes it's because they've become cold themselves. They've allowed sin to enter in, right? And they need to be dismissed. Or they said, I can't work with these people anymore because they don't want to move. Change is hard, but change is good. Methodology is good. We don't change the message. But if we look out and say, this is not working, we need to say, God, what will work? And I believe you have a leadership here, led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, that are wanting to bring change. Because people need the Lord. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we're back in a year's time? Maybe not after the morning's message here, but we could see this built. You're even thinking of building on. What? That would be awesome. Because God's able to do it. But what he's looking for are people that are devoted and they've yielded their heart. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I am available for you. So, Luke 24, and then we will get ready to shut this down because I'm getting hungry and I want to eat. I wasn't fed any breakfast this morning at the Karen's. Yes, I was. It is so good to be with those folks. They encourage me. And I'm going to say this wholeheartedly. The pastor loves you. And so does his wife. They love you. You've got a good pastor here. You tell them that because that'll make sure I get back again next year. Or, you know what? The Bible says, let another man praise thee. You know, if you've got a heart for God and your heart is on fire for God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to encourage and build people up. You're going to forget about yourself, and you're going to look on the needs of others. Do you know who we need today? We need Barnabases, we need Jonathans, and we need Janes within the family of God today. People are so beat down, so uncertain about the future. We've taken our eyes off Christ. We're looking at our circumstances. A lot of times you hear Christians say, well, I'm just surviving. I'm under the circumstances. God says, I've never put you under the circumstances. I ride on the circumference of the world. The universe can't even hold him. People say that the speed of light, it would take 10 million years to get to the edge of the known universe. And you know what? God is there. One teaspoon of gasoline, Otto Gale said, if it was properly used, could circle the world 4,000 times. Power! And yet God is so nurturing. He says in the Psalms that he gathereth like his chicks. When you're brokenhearted, when you need a hug, God's not resisting. God wants to succor us to himself. Isn't that a great God? The unsaved have no idea. So they run to their pleasures, their pain, their trinkets, to the bars, whatever fills their boat. And God has put in every man a God-shaped void. We're trying to fill it with the world, and it is shaped in the form of a triangle. When God gets a hold of a life, you know what he does? He completes it. He completes it. Which means we're back in fellowship with God. The greatest thing you can do for yourself and for your brethren in the church is to get alone with God and have a personal relationship with God. And he walks with me, and only the pastor and leadership. He's not concerned about me at all. Did I just butcher that hymn? He walks with me and he talks with me. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He longs to fellowship with you. Luke 24, verse 32. And then I'm going to quit. And actually, that's just my introduction. And we'll keep going. I'm just teasing. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Look at that. By the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Here is a surefire remedy to go from a cold heart, from a lukewarm heart, to a hot heart after God. Here it is. Get alone with God in the scriptures. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. We need a fresh view of the Lamb of God seated on his throne. Colossians tells us what? He's seated in the heavenlies. Set your affections on things above. Set your affections on things above. Sometimes you hear people say this in Luke 14. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That is not my mother-in-law. That is not my wife. That is not my husband. That is not what that's saying. He's saying to David, to you personally, lay down your life before me and let me carry you. And in the rest of the chapter, he puts things in the right perspective. I will love my wife more. I will love God's people more. I will love my children more. I will love the unsaved more. That's what he's saying. Your husband or your wife is not your cross. Get that thinking right out of your head. Oh, if I had 5 more minutes with him, I can change him. It's not your job to change him. It's not my job to change her. If I am living before the Lord and being that salt, you know what's going to happen? She will see the change. I've been pastoring 6 years. I've been serving the Lord 27 years. And I've never once won anybody, folks, through confrontation. Not once. You need to get saved. Yes, that's true. I've never won anybody through confrontation, and neither will you. Do you love that beautiful picture? Jesus gets down because he had a heart after God. Woman taken in adultery. The man was in the crowd getting ready to stone her too. They drug the woman out. Isn't that interesting? He was down on her level, folks. With tears coming down, right in the dirt, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? I see none. He said, I forgive you and sin no more. Don't repeat the same thing. What a picture of grace, folks. We get this holy and high attitude sometimes that I'm better than sliced bread. And we forget about the needs of the unsaved, or even maybe within our own home there are people that are unsaved. We handle them like we're the holy one and the righteous one. What they need to see is a brokenness before God and loving them unconditionally. Doesn't God love you unconditionally? Doesn't God care for you even when I don't care? Even when I get cold? Even when I'm lukewarm? God still pursues us with an unending love? Wow! Say that backwards means the exact same thing. Wow. So where are you today, friend? My brethren, where are you? Cold? Lukewarm? Or hot after God? Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. May you, before God today, say, God, search me. Know me. And we like to leave that last part out. Try me. and see if there be found in me any wicked way. You can find it yourself in Psalm 139, verse 23. Try me, Lord. Listen, folks, God doesn't break you to the point where there's no return. But you know what? When I said a few minutes ago, and it just came back to me, it must be a senior moment. How many of us like to be blessed? You know what we don't like, folks? We don't like being taken to the woodshed. When I stepped out of God's will in 2010 to drag my family to Nashville, Tennessee to teach professional golf, I did it out of the will of God and sold our home in the dead of winter and packed them up and moved them there on our last dime. My life was out of control. God brought me home one day in the trailer, living on the tip of Tornado Alley, and he broke me. You know why he broke me? Because I needed to be. And God took me to the woodshed. He said, what's it going to be, Dave? Your will, which makes you absolutely miserable. You're not a good example to your wife and your children. Or you're going to follow me, because he reminded me, you're bought with the precious blood. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to me. Within 2 days, the church called and they said, this is Topsfield. I said, I'm coming. We never talked about finances, nothing. I said, God wants me back there. And I've learned so much. And in that process, God has had to break me again. Because sometimes you look at people and sheep get defenseless, sheep get angry, sheep like to bite. And I love the truth, but I need grace. God's teaching me grace with God's people. We need grace towards one another. But you know what it did? In closing, it drove me to my knees and said, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the grace that I need. Teach me to love them, Lord, as you do. Oh, we can get so cold towards one another. And like a porcupine, we can get, what? A lot of good points, but you can't get near them. They'll know us by our what? Love for one another. Let's love one another. And you watch what God will do, folks, with us as a community of believers. Amen? Maybe you need to do business today with one another. Maybe you're holding something against one another. I've gone to churches. Ma'am, if you could come, we'll start closing this morning with this hymn. But I've gone to churches and we sing that hymn, oh, what fellowship, oh, what joy divine. Right? And I've seen it. I said, let's get up and shake one another's hand. And I've seen on purpose people skirt around one another because they're holding a grudge or there's bitterness between the body. And God said, if that's happening, you know what? We're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. God says, when I'm cold or lukewarm, his power is not working in and through me. So take care of yourself, folks. Might be some hard choices in the road ahead for us as a congregation here. But you know what? God may break you to the point where he wants to bless you. Oh, it's good to be broken. David was broken. And look at God. He restored his joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. Let's stand together, please. And in closing, we'll sing 309. Softly and